The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro News for Wednesday, the 2nd of October, 2024. It's a tough market out there, isn't it? And let's be honest, we've got a lot going on. There's a war in Europe, in Ukraine. There's a growing war in the Middle East, and there's worries now about what Israel would do in retaliation to Iran. I think Iran a little bit scared of the intelligence that Israel has, the hits they've made on Hezbollah. It's phenomenal. Those bunker bombs. Phenomenal. But anyway, the aim of all share is at March lows. And technically, the moving averages are forming what's called a death cross. That's the 50-day moving average crossing over and down over the 200-day moving average, which signifies a downtrend, really. I mean, there has been times in the past, I look back, where it does happen temporarily when you get a bit of a sell-off in the market for a few months, and that's happened in AIM, and it can get back to highs and rally again and revert to an uptrend. But it's not going to happen very soon. By the way, in the last 12 months, the FTSE 100 has been up 10%. FTSE 250 up 18%. FTSE small cap up 14%. AIM All Share up 0.5%. So the FTSE small cap is done 28 times better than AIM All Share. A lot of investors are saying AIM is dead. It's not dead. There's plenty of profitable growing companies on AIM, but it's always the dross that grabs the headlines and make the most noise, because people lose money in those stocks, and they complain about it, saying AIM's rubbish, but they don't look outside those loss-making companies. You know, markets are cyclical, and we are in a downturn. It's a natural period, and we are, especially now, a period of great worry, not only because of the budget coming up, and we are in a high interest rate environment, but because of the wars in Europe and Middle East. In the last bull market, too many questionable companies listed or managed to raise lots of money because money was free. Interest rates were low, the lowest they've been for the longest period of time ever. Ever. Now, the AIM market, it exists when you think about it. And this is what they say, actually. I did look at the website. It exists to provide access to capital for companies to enable them to grow. However, there's a dearth of companies that have access to capital, and they've had lots of access to capital over the last 10, 15 years, and they haven't grown. They just needed the capital to survive, not thrive. These companies are zombies, sucking capital from investors, dragging down the index and its reputation. The only way to kill a zombie company is to stop let it getting capital. Remove the capital, the access to capital. And this is currently happening. We've seen quite a few companies delist from AIM because they're not generating any value, any profits, any money, any revenue. They're just sucking in capital. So this process needs to happen. We do not need lots more companies listing on AIM. We need less companies listing of a higher quality. This would produce a healthier index with less failures and better returns for investors. I believe the AIM All Share Index will outperform, will hit and get past previous highs in the next 3 to 5 years, as long as these zombie companies delist. They've got to delist. They are sucking the capital and life out of AIM. And trouble is, a lot of private investors are obsessed with them, thinking they'll get 10 baggers, 20 baggers, 30 baggers. Do you not understand risk and reward? The higher the reward, the greater the risk in achieving that. Simple as. And so I think AIM is fine. It's going through a cyclical downturn. This happens. There's lots of opportunities out there when stocks sell off. And so I think it will get back to its highs in the next 3 to 5 years, as long as Rachel Reeves' anti-growth growth decisions doesn't reveal something stupid in the budget that stops people investing. By the way, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK, and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. These are companies with a market capitalisation below 100 million. To receive my tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. Someone did say to me, are you still sending these out? I haven't received anything for a few weeks. No, I'm not, I don't send them out every week. I don't have to. So basically, I send them out when I believe a company is fundamentally and technically set up to move. And just by signing up to that list gives you an added benefit. Listen to the end of the podcast to find out. Okay, let's look at the markets here. Let's check them out. So we have the FTSE 100 up a fifth of 1%. The FTSE 250, it's down just over half of 1% at 20,796. What else we got? The small cap, it's down a smidge, 0.03%, 6924. A mall share, down 0.4%, 733. Like I say, hitting March lows, and a death cross has happened. Brent crude, it's up to 70, did hit $76 a barrel. It's the futures there, of course, because there's worries about what Israel's retaliation will be to Iran, which is, I think, the seventh biggest oil producer in the world. If it hits us, their oil production facilities, then, of course, supply drops off. But saying that, forward-looking, there's like a glut of oil because demand is low. Copper, that's rallying a smidge as well. Oh, it's a smidge. Well, just a 1% day. It's at, what's a long ton? It's at $10,233 a ton. That's up 1.12%. And gold, it's off a little touch at 0.6% to 2,674 ounces. Okay, let's look at some macro news here. First, number one, this is, pay attention, Bank of England. Andrew Bailey, I know you listen. Andrew Bailey probably doesn't listen to anything apart from Radio 4, does he? He's the governor of the Bank of England. Right, I'm the governor. That's what we need. Good old East End fella as the governor of the Bank of England. Yeah. Ray Winston, that's who you want. Anyway, story number one. UK pay awards hold at two-year low. This is an IDR survey. This is from Reuters. Pay settlements awarded by British employers held at their lowest in 2 years in the 3 months to August, according to a survey that could reassure the Bank of England as it considers whether to cut interest rates again. Yes, cut! Cut for heaven's sake! We're going to be in a deep recession unless you start cutting. Heaven's sake, what is wrong with them? They are driving with your comedy glasses on, looking at the rearview mirror. Ingham's data research said on Wednesday that the maiden pay settlement awarded by major employers held at 4% for the second month in a row. Median pay awards in the public sector stood at 4.5% above those in the private sector, which showed 4.1%. Yeah, well, it's not so surprising, is it? Rachel Reeves announced above inflation increases, didn't she? Worth £9.4 billion. That's how much, and yet that's including the £22 billion black hole they talk about that's sucking everything into it. Official figures last month showed British private sector wage growth cooled to a two-year low of 4.9% in the 3 months to July. And that's coming down. The more, I'm seeing a lot more, and I mean, this is AIM, I suppose, but I'm seeing a lot more profit warnings from companies. Companies are struggling. They really are. And especially if you're consumer facing. So, and it is like, one of these super tankers, like I say, you can't just turn the economy around overnight. It takes a long time. Now, by their own admission, the Bank of England say 12 to 18 months it takes for interest rates to kick in to have an effect on the real world economy. Well, 18 months ago, we were at 3%, and now we're at 5. So how fast are you going to come down from 5 now? Not very fast at all, by the looks of it. And so we're already seeing, in fact, liquidations at a 30-year high. Administrations by companies. That tells you something, doesn't it? Okay, story number two. UK budget worries weigh on factory activity. In fact, I did reveal those figures yesterday. They came out as I was recording this, but this is a bit more in-depth here. These are PMI figures, Purchasing Managers Index. This is from Reuters again. British manufacturers turned more pessimistic in September on worries about the new government's first budget combined with concerns about conflict in the Middle East and strong inflation pressures. A survey showed the S&P Global UK Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index edged down to 51.5, matching the preliminary September estimate from more than a two-year high of 52.5 in August. The PMI's measure of business optimism about the year ahead tumbled to a nine-month low. So who's this? This is Rob Dobson, Rob Dobb, Director of S&P Global Market Intelligence. Rob Dobbs says, the extent of the drop in confidence was striking, beaten only by that seen in March 2020, prior to COVID lockdowns. Are these not red flags, you know, popping up in front of the eyes of the governor of the Bank of England? If they're not, I don't know what are. And story number three. I can't believe this. I hope it's not true, because it's making out that Labour are a lying, duplicitous, disingenuous party, if this is true. This is from the Guardian Business News. I saw this yesterday. Treasury asking ministers to draw billions of pounds of infrastructure cuts. Now, if you want to grow an economy, infrastructure is the way to what to invest in, you know? Ministers have been asked to draw billions of pounds of cuts to infrastructure projects over the next 18 months, despite Rachel Reeves pledging to invest more to grow the economy, The Guardian has learned. Members of the Cabinet have been asked to model cuts to their investment plans of up to 10% of their annual capital spending as part of this month's spending review, government sources said. Reeves, the Chancellor, told the Labour Party conference this week, or last week, remember? This is what she said. It is time the Treasury moved on from just counting the costs of investment in our economy to recognising the benefits too. Growth is the challenge and investment is the solution. So basically, that's exact opposite of what the Guardians say she is doing. Of course, we don't know yet what's in the budget. But if this is true, they're only going to get one term, aren't they? Because the hypocrisy now coming up from Labour is just baffling. It's mind-blowing. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? And I don't say that as a cliche. I mean, you can't believe it. Anyway, let's look at some micro news. You've got to invest. You've got to invest. I mean, they are looking at, messing around with the balance sheet. I don't know if you read about that, but they're looking now. Previously, infrastructure projects and losses from the Bank of England were on the balance sheet, but now they're going to try and take them off that. Say, if they're going to make a return on investment, they'll take them off that so they can increase the debt. That's a little bit worrying. There's got to be clever ways to get to invest in the economy of the country than just basically raising debt more somehow. Just, incentivizing international investment and private investment in some way. Give them tax breaks, whatever. Sorry if you can hear noise outside. My house is being renovated. In the house today, I've got a painter, a plasterer inside. There's two different guys. And outside, I've got two guys with two diggers, two automatic wheelbarrows, and basically digging up footings around the house for an extension. They've got the kit there. They've gone down a metre. I didn't realise they'd gone that far. Anyway, micro news. So allow me a bit of, a bit of ramping here on my own stocks, because there's not much news out today, not much final results. There's a couple of trading updates, but this is one. Beeks Financial Cloud, a cloud computing and connectivity provider for financial markets, will issue its final results on the 7th of October. Now, pay attention to dips in this company, because I do believe, I talked earlier about there are lots of dross on AIM. This is an exceptional company. And being exceptional is very rare. Like I say, if you get 1,000 companies on AIM, there's not. Let's take 100. Let's say you look at 100 companies on AIM. All right? I'd say the dross is about 50%. The pre-revenue, loss-making, countries digging up dirt in Africa, pretending they'll be the next, billion-dollar mine. It never happens. It never happens. Or someone discovering some drug to cure cancer. It never happens. Very rarely. When's the last time a company on AIM discovered a drug that was like so phenomenal? It was adopted by the world in regards to the disease it's talking about. It never happened. Oh, yes, but, this one is. The dilution of private investors. So a lot of this, 100 out of 50 companies, 100 are dross. They'll always be promising to do something amazing. They never do. Listen, figures are fact, right? Figures are fact. Everything else just opinion. Whatever the CEO's saying, it's opinion. Until something actually is commercial and sells at higher volumes every year, then they're not growing, okay? Anyway, now, Beeks has a market cap of 165 million. But like I said, it's not cheap. But exceptional companies aren't. If you look at any company that's been exceptional in the US markets, UK markets, over the last 5, 10, 20 years, they're never cheap because they're exceptional. So you have to pay up for them, full stop. It's like you want to buy the best in any brand for your house, you know, car, whatever it is. You have to pay up because they're the best and they are exceptional. They stand way above the rest of the market in regards to service, product, whatever. And so it's worth paying for that. Anyway, this is the fifth consecutive year that Beeks has, I think, 28% compound annual growth. That in itself is phenomenal. And I've studied 10 baggers. And this is what 10 baggers do. They do run about 20% plus of top line growth. So their full year results, revenue up by 27%, underlying profit EBITDA up by 27% to 8.1 million, revenue is 30 million. Profit for tax up 67% to 4.1 million. 18% growth in annualized combined monthly recurring revenue to 28 million. Cash up from 6.58 from 5.4. Significant contract wins. Johannesburg Stock Exchange, Exchange Cloud contract extension. Proximity Cloud win with one of the world's largest banking groups. And also, third Exchange Cloud contract with one of the largest exchanges globally. They're not allowed to mention it yet. I can. It's the NASDAQ, the second biggest stock exchange in the world, next to the New York Stock Exchange. And they've also got to deal with them. When you have bigger organizations, the biggest in the world, dealing with a small cap on AIM, that small cap has something special. Because those companies got a lot of employees, they've got the best tech, and they've searched around for the best product. And they found it in Beeks. That's why it's worth paying up for a company like that. Keep your eye on it. If it dips, do your own research, but buy the dip. Next. Unlike an exceptional company, this is seems quite ordinary. Inspiration Healthcare, IHC, the global medical technology company, announces unaudited interim results 6 months, ended 31st of July. Market cap, 19 million. Revenue, 17 million versus 20.4, so it's down. I'm looking for growth here. Loss before tax, 3.7 million from 140K. So that's grown, the loss. Oh, it's gone the wrong way here. Yeah. Net debt of 6.8 million versus 6 million. In the outlook, they say, as previously announced, we expect revenues for financial year 25 to be H2 weighted. Following the restructure of our commercial team in H1, we've seen encouraging signs of recovery from our neonatal business with a large pipeline of opportunities and a strong order book for the rest of the year. I'm always skeptical on strong order books. I've seen companies with very strong order books and they stay order books. They don't become orders. They do say, however, margin pressures are expected to remain due to the sales mix and delivery for delayed Middle East order, and this will impact earnings expectations for the year. Yeah, see, that's trouble. Orders can be delayed, even cancelled sometimes. Next, please indulge me again. It's another of my companies. Not much out today. Time Finance has renewed and increased its back-to-back invoice finance funding facility with NatWest to $65 million with a $55 million fully committed, an additional 10 million accordion element. Have you seen that video on Twitter where someone's put an accordion in Trump's hands, obviously CGI or cartoon, and the sound of the accordion, you know, plays as he's talking, because he does that with his hands like he's holding an accordion. Anyway, Time Finance, Time Invoice Finance, by the way, has achieved consistent growth with funds advanced to clients by over 100, well, it's increased by 170%. Wow, how did I say 70%? To 68 million as the business continues to experience robust demand. The group is extremely well positioned to continue to fund its future growth plans with total funding facilities available to the group now over 225 million. They've got a market cap of 55 million. Full year results just released. Revenue of 33.2 million versus 27.6, an increase of 20%. Do you notice that 20% figure? Profit before tax up to 5.9 million versus 4.2, an increase of 41%. So revenue's gone up, margins got better. That's the twin engines of growth there. And in fact, they released a Q1 update as well, which was, I think, even better than the previous year. Let's have a look, sorry. The Q1, yeah, Q1 on the same day of finals. Revenue up another 20%. in Q1 to 9.1 million. It's just Q1. Profit before tax up 46% to 1.9 million. So it's all good. So check that. Times another one. That's a great business. I talk about good, great, exceptional. And I think Beaks is exceptional. I think that's a great business. Like I say, if you look at 100 companies on AIM, 50 are crap, okay? There's about 30, maybe 35 that are good. What's that, 85? Yeah. There's about 10 that are great. And the other 5 are exceptional. Maybe not even that. So 5%. And that there, they are within the top 10% time being great businesses run by good management, know what they're doing. Okay, next, Top Styles, TPT, the UK's leading tile specialist, announces a trading update for the 52-week period ended the 20th of September. Market cap, 86 million. Now, you can understand, that the consumer's under pressure, so this may not be good. Group sales for the year were approximately 248 million versus a record high of 263 million last year. Group sales in the fourth quarter were 4.4% lower, a slight improvement on the trends seen across the rest of the year. They say the trading environment remained very challenging across the whole year with continued weak demand in the domestic repair, maintenance and improvement sector. There we are, take note. As if you needed, we've heard about this, but now you're seeing it from Top Styles, they would know, especially for bigger ticket projects. As previously announced, we believe that the market has declined by about 10 to 15% year on year, indicating the group has continued to outperform the wider market. Like-for-like sales at Tops were 8.2% lower year-on-year in the fourth quarter, with trading levels remaining stable. Like-for-like sales for the year were 9.1% lower. Okay, so they're saying trade customers are more resilient. So the quarter is down 8.2%, but across the year 9.1%, so maybe it's a little bit better. But this in the sector is down 10 to 15%. At the interims, by the way, they had group revenue of 122 million versus 130. A loss for the period of 1.9 million before tax versus a £706,000 profit. They had cash of 19.3, sorry. They didn't get any debt, I was surprised about that, versus 19.9. So they have, 600,000 in cash gone down. But I'm assuming very slim margins there by the looks of it. But nevertheless, it's good to read, companies like that because it gives you an idea of where the market is, where the consumer is. And finally, Wednesday, which to be honest, today, it's not winning anything. Oh, by the way, share prices, Inspiration Healthcare down 8.3% to 19.7. Beaks is down about 5% a day. It has rallied strongly over the last, it's one of the best performers of the last year, I think. Top Styles down half of 1%. Time is up. Time Finance up 52-week high, pretty much, up 1.33%. And Wednesday right now is down 6.4% to £3. So probably gives you an insight as to how the trading update is gone. So it's for the financial year ended the 31st of October. It's now clear that results for the financial year will be materially lower than current market expectations. They are basically agricultural supplies and specialist merchandising group, agricultural supplies. The current market expectations, so they're below expectations and lower than the previous financial year. Outlook, the group has a well-established market position and benefits from a strong balance sheet and good cash flows. While there's a number of headwinds in the short term, the board expects a better outlook for the livestock and dairy sectors and anticipates an improved financial performance in financial year 25 compared to 24. So like I say, what's the market cap there, Wednesday? There are 73 million market cap there, but they've been struggling. Look at their share price. It's, wow. In 2022, in June, it was 6.54 a share. They're down out to £3. So pretty much halved there. Okay, that's it. Not much news out today. That's it for the day. And by all means, go to sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up for that, you qualify for 20% off the SharePickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include early access to share tips, access to live weekly webinars. In fact, it's Wednesday. It's the Wednesday weekly webinar tonight for the members and myself. where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed. Access to Microcap League, where profitable microcap companies are analysed, colour-coded and scored, then ranked on 20 different metrics. And this is why I say these companies are the good, the great, the exceptions. You know, the top like 30% of AIM, not the bottom 70%. A free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing. In fact, I'm going to London tomorrow for a meal with the publisher. My publisher. Hey. So I may do a short version of this podcast if I manage to get one out. Access to view my holdings, which I update after any new transactions. Educational videos on fundamental and technical analysis, plus portfolio management, very important. Access to the chat group, shepherdpickers.com/tips. Sorry, I've been very stumbly today. I think I've had too much coffee and not enough water. Maybe it's dried me out a little bit. Of course, this bit is not really needed at the end of the podcast, is it? No. Okay. Have a nice day. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.